morning, church. I'm reading from the English Standard Version today, and I'll be reading Matthew 6, verses 9 to 18. Pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you give others their trespasses, their heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Fasting. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fastings may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fastings may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Thank you, Michael. Just want to take a few moments to look at this part of God's Word and to think as Jeff prayed and as we sang that song, Lord, we pray that your kingdom come, and Lord, we pray that your will be done. And I couldn't help but be thinking and praying, as I trust you are, for Israel and for Palestine at this time. And really the best thing that we can pray is, Lord, we pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done in that place, as it needs to be done in every place, on earth as it is in heaven. And so please be taking the time to pray in and ask the Lord. There are so many people that are caught up in this, as of this morning with the news that I saw. 345 people are killed in just a few short hours. And, you know, there are people, children, families, people like us that are caught up in this. And so we just pray that there would be peace in Israel. Prayer is important. I was pondering how much influence I would have if I got Tim Bull. I went to his office and I had an hour with Tim Bull. Or perhaps if I went to Darren Chester's office and had an hour with Darren Chester, I wonder how much influence I might be able to bring to bear. How much change? Perhaps you know, I could be instrumental in getting them to see things in perhaps a way that was concerning me, a way that was concerning you. I didn't think about that for very long, not because I don't think anything would happen, but I was very quickly moved to the fact that when we pray, it far exceeds what you could do, get Darren Chester to do, or Tim Bull, as they seek to serve their communities. And so these words would have echoed in Israel when Jesus' disciples, because of Jesus' example, if you look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus had been praying, as was his practice, and when he had concluded his praying, his disciples, who would have been probably waiting for him to finish, but they couldn't wait to ask him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples how to pray? And so Luke doesn't record as much as what Matthew does, and hence of reading out of Matthew. But these words here are just amazing words, and it's a terrible thing when words that become so familiar don't get taken any notice of. They just get parroted off. I remember my heart was really touched at an Anzac Day service in Mudgee many years ago. And whoever was leading at the time, they, as they often do here, they prayed the Lord's Prayer. The one thing that I thought was wonderful about that was that across the community some 20 years ago, those words were at least still familiar, and the community could say them pretty much and joined in and prayed as best that they could. But however, do people really understand what they're asking for when they pray like this? And so as I look at this, and I want to encourage you, because yes, last week we did talk about what it is to be people that have a sense of God's given me something to do. And as we're people who can and are told that to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, there's a reason for that. There's a reason, because God has given us something to do. And we can't do it in our own strength. I believe God has got something important for you. It's a God-given thing. It's an important thing. And one of those, and it has to be something that you do prayerfully. I reckon if Sarah passed around the microphone again, I'm not going to get her to do it because time's got away already. And there would be story after story in this place of things that you would be recalling, things that you've learnt, times in your life when you have felt that you've desperately needed to pray. And I believe there'll be story after story that could be recounted here. Well, I believe prayer is just the most amazing invitation that God gives you, that your Heavenly Father gives you to relate to him. An opportunity to participate in bigger things than just what you would come up. It's an opportunity for communion. If there's two words that you would take away from this morning, it would be these two words: communion and change. And when I say communion, I'm not talking about what we have had set on the table in front of us last week, but I'm talking about a relationship with God. A communion with him. And prayer is so much part of that. And the fact that God invites you to call him Father, to say he's your Father, that's just the most amazing thing. And your Father likes to be called Father. That personal Abba Father, Daddy, dear Daddy, I can come into your presence because of what your Son has done for me. That's just so wonderful. That's a level of communion. That's why that song is such a lovely song. It's a song about communion. It's a song about relationship. It's a song about closeness. It's a song about the privilege of belonging. And so when these words are so often read and not thought about, we just miss. There's about 7 or 8, well, maybe 8 or 9 points here that will change your life. You might go home and count them and go, I don't know, well, I can only see about 6. Well, that's just to make you read and read carefully. I used to have a little plaque on the end of my toolbox when I was an apprentice. I probably got it at a Christian bookshop and I screwed it on the end of my toolbox. It just says, prayer changes things. It would have had a Bible verse under it, something like, pray continually or something like that. And my never-attending Catholic bosses probably hated the fact that their apprentice had that on his toolbox. And my best efforts to witness to them didn't seem to make much difference, as I would understand. But prayer changes things. You know what it changes most? It changes the person praying. And that's not to say it doesn't change other things, but it changes you as you pray. And when you have the privilege of, which you do at any time and in any place, of talking to God, things change. And so I just wanted to say a few things. There were also some words that were echoed out in Israel a long time ago. The very centerpiece, the beautiful temple that Solomon completed, that David was not to complete, but Solomon, his son, did. Such a magnificent thing that was even commented on by the disciples as Jesus walked and his disciples walked past it. But when Solomon had commissioned the temple and committed it to the Lord, and then the Lord spoke to Solomon, he said these words. It's about prayer. He said these words, and find them in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He said these words, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and command the locusts to devour the land, and to send pestilence among my people," and you might be going, "My goodness me, why would God do that?" And the temptation would hit your heart, and the doubt would come in, "God, you're not fair." You know why God would do something like that? Because things need to change. Because the independent heart of man needs something to confront him, to cause him to wake up to himself. And then the famous verse. See, sometimes we read the famous verse and we don't read the context. And then we read the famous verse, "If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." See, there has to be forgiveness of sin before there can be communion. There has to be the seeking of God and the dependence upon him before there's any significant change. And it goes on to say, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is prayed in this place." All that is left of that place is a wailing wall, the foundations. And if you read on in Chronicles, chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you'll see what God said would happen if the people didn't do what was just said there. So now we don't have to go to a special place. We don't even have to come to this place for God to hear us, because the ear of the Lord is inclined toward his people at any time and in any place. And what a privilege is that. See, I believe prayer is just the most amazing privilege that you can enter into. And I pray that today that you might be moved to persist in prayer. It was Alfred Tennyson that said that there are more things that are wrought in prayer than this world dreams of. And that's true. There's more impact that happens because we pray than we can bargain on. But let me just say a few things that change when we pray. And I want you to keep the two words, communion and change. Because I think in each of these points that we see here, that Jesus outlines is, in a sense, you don't have to say these exact words, but these are important things that need to be part of the way that you pray. Firstly, when you pray, you need to know that you can call God Father. Your Father. And that speaks of communion, and that speaks of something's changed. God has made it possible for that to be the case through Jesus. You need to put your faith in Christ. You need to respond to what he's done for you on the cross, to know him as Father. It ought to be that our desire becomes that, Father, I want your name. I want your name to be appreciated. I want your name to be honored. I want your name to be hallowed and revered and worshipped and adored. I want your name to have the rightful place. Things need to change, don't they? You get the "oh my God" this and the "oh my God" that all over the place. And his name is not revered. May you be an agent for change. May people see a reality in you. I remember a tradesman working in a situation where his boss would be always using the name of Jesus about this and the name of Jesus about that. And it just upset this Christian man so much that his boss would keep blaspheming. And he didn't know what to do about it. So he came up with this idea that he'd say, whenever he mentioned the name of the Lord in vain, this employee would say to his boss, "Oh, the name I love to hear." Which was a bit of a, instead of correcting him, and, "Oh, the name I love to hear." And then he'd use the name of the Lord in vain. "Oh, the name I love to hear." It got to the boss eventually. He says, "The name you love to hear." You know, there are ways that we can be a godly example, not speaking condemnation, not speaking judgment, but being a godly example, a gracious example, honoring the name of our Father. I believe this communion, and there is change that happens when we want to see his kingdom come. And I don't know whether you live your life saying, Lord, I just want to see your kingdom come. You've put me here for that reason. You've brought me into your kingdom, under your authority. I've got the privilege of you being my king. I've got confidence in life because of that. And now I can be living and working to see your kingdom come, to see people established in you. That's the best thing that can happen to anyone. It's the best thing that can happen to everyone. It's the best thing that could happen in Israel right now, and in Palestine right now, and in Lebanon right now. And you know, there are believers like us in those places that need to be encouraged in that. You could pray for them. I believe there's communion, and I believe there's change when our hearts are changed toward his will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want to live in accordance with your will and your purpose. I want that to be my delight. I want that. That's where I find satisfaction, instead of finding satisfaction in what I used to think was good. See, when we pray and when we interact with the Lord, there becomes a switching from human wishes and from your ideas of what should happen to his wishes as he imparts faith to you. Don't be tempted in prayer to dictate the terms to God. Seek him. Don't just leave your praying to be the 000 call to heaven either. It's so much more than that. Jesus himself prayed like that. He said, not my will, but yours be done. If he had to pray that. There's communion and there's change when we realize that he is the one that provides what we need, and we're told that we can ask, Lord, give us today our daily bread. I love it when I read old accounts of exploration and endeavor. And I love it when, in a bygone era, there was a great level of God consciousness, and where a ship's captain would put in his log about, because of providence, we have survived the storm. I think there were exploration ship that, I can't remember which one, that put anchor in either Esperance or Albany, there on the bottom of Western Australia, and they found a place of refuge. And in the ship's log, it was providence. It was God that had provided for them. We need to be people who are confident in his provision, in the daily bread. We need to model that confidence and that hope that points other people to him. Why is it that we are not worried? Why is it that we are not stressed? Because God is faithful, and you can daily appreciate his provision, and you can live with a sense of dependence. We're told that you've got to trust the science. Science is good, but science needs to be founded on what is true. And when God is not part of the equation in the science, then we're lacking foundation. You know, the scientists are telling us that there is going to be an El Nino event, and it's going to be dry and hot and dangerous. Now, you can trust the science, and I'm not saying El Nino doesn't happen. Or you can seek the Lord. Our water tank had about that much in the bottom of it a week ago. Now it's within that much of the top of it. And we're grateful for that. And I wonder whether as God's people we say, Lord, I'm relying on you for my daily bread and water. Or whether we're just so used to going, well, I just turn on the tap because I think the Gippsland Water have got that covered, haven't they? Where do you think they get the water from? I wonder whether we've just become so far removed from relying on God. I would be speculating, I think, that Barry Bassett and his family farming in Western Victoria would have known many times the need to seek the Lord for rain so that their crops might germinate and they might grow, because of that level of dependence and connectedness. And we as a very urbanized culture now, we rely on Gippsland Water. They should have that covered. We need to be people who trust in the one who made everything, the one who actually knows exactly what El Nino and whatever the other El... El, what is it? El? El Lanya. Yeah, whatever they are. God's got that covered. And he tells us, you can ask me and you can live with absolute confidence and dependence on my provision. You can trust him who made everything and who sustains everything. You can trust him who loves you and cares for you right now. You can pray and seek his face, and I was very grateful for the rain. I got into my tank on Tuesday and I rendered up the crack in the wall of the tank because it's going to rain. And it worked, praise the Lord. Verse 12 is wonderful, because in verse 12 it says these words, forgive us our debts as we forgive, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness is amazing. The communion that comes and the change that comes when we're living in the joy of forgiveness and the blessing of being forgiving. You know, it's the only part of the prayer that Jesus reiterates in verses 14 through to 16. I'm tempted to go to other parts of the scripture to talk about forgiveness, but it's life-changing. I believe there's communion and there's change when we ask the Lord, Lord, please, I want to be led into the freedom. I want to be led in paths of righteousness. I don't want to be going down the same path that I would naturally go down and be entrapped by my inclination to sin. And there's this warning sign there about temptation. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Well, the Lord doesn't lead you into temptation. Lord, lead me in a better direction. And I don't have to point out whatever it is that you might be tempted with, and I'm not going to tell you what I'm tempted with. But we need the Lord working in our lives to overcome those very things that undo us. And this communion and this change that is enjoyed. And then digging in a little deeper and recognizing the fact that there's spiritual opposition, that there is deception and there is spiritual activity that is there to wreak destruction in our lives. Where it says, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we need your protection. We need the chains that used to bind us, the schemes that used to hold us, the powers that were against us. We need to recognize that they were defeated by the cross. It says in Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 that he disarmed, that he made a public spectacle of, and he triumphed over them on the cross. Satan's power is broken. So, I say to you, my brothers and sisters, persist in the privilege of prayer. because God has got something for you to do. And prayer, you getting quietly before Him, you enjoying communion with Him, will bring about the change that you need. I'm not going to go into the last part of chapter 6 in Ephesians, because you're probably praying that I finish soon. So I will give you opportunity to be very thankful to the Lord. But you could read the last part, Ephesians 18, 19 and 20, and you realize, see, I sort of thought, well, we've got the beginning of that great passage where it says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And the last part of it, after we talk about all the armor and all that God provides and all that we need to have as part of who we are as His people, I'm going to start preaching, I'm going to be careful, stop now. Then He speaks about prayer. So you read it. You think about just how personal that is. You think about how widely impacting that is. When the apostle himself says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me that I might explain the gospel as I should. He knew he had a job to do. I pray that we know we've got a job to do. And I pray that we pray. Amen.